We'll just close this door, is that right? So here on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, we're discussing the concept of Aninus and the concept of Avelus. And we find a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban with regard to the relationship between Aninus and Avelus. According to the Ramban, Avelus, like Aninus, and this is the Ramban in Torah Sa'odom, is Chal immediately Bishas Misa. The Misa itself engenders two things, Aninus and Avelus. The Ramban, however, has a number of exceptions. He says with regard to Nilas HaSandal and Kfiyas HaMita, which are Kiyumim of mitzvahs avelus, not isurei avel, but kiyume avel. So the Ramban says that insofar as he's an onein at this point, and he therefore is potter mikol mitzvahs, including mitzvahs avelus, he's osek b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, he's involved in the mitzvah of kvura, and therefore we exempt him from any other mitzvahs. And even within the context of mitzvahs avelus, for example, Nilas HaSandal, Atifas HaRosh, Kfiyas HaMita, all these, which are defined as Kiyum Mitzvahs HaVelus, they're all suspended insofar as he's Potter Min HaMitzvahs. So basically, the situation of an Onen with Misa is that all Isuri HaVelus HaChal, and we remember we discussed that there's a whole list of 11 Isuri HaVelus, we're going to remove a few from those lists insofar as that those few will be suspended till after Kvura, but the bulk, the real majority of Hilchas Avelus begin with Misa according to the Ramban. The Rambam, on the other hand, opens up Hilchas Avelus by telling us that Me'emesai Yischayev Adam Bi'Avel, that Mitzvah Avelus is only Chal after Kvura Mishiyis Tamagolel, Avel Kol Zman Shlo Nikbar Ames. None of the Surei Avel apply. And that means that according to the Rambam sheet, it's a package deal. You can't take half of Avelus. Either you take it all, or you don't take any of it. The Ramban, as we said before in Torah Sa'odom, is willing to split it. He's willing to take Isurei Avel together with Misa and leave out Kiyume Avel, the Kiyum Mitzvahs Avel. Whereas the Rambam says no. If the Kiyume Mitzvahs Avel are postponed, then even the Isurei Avel are postponed. Which means that according to the Rambam, the entire package of Avelus is pushed off until after Kvura. And therefore there's absolutely no vestige of Avelus. Not only Lomi Boy Kiyume Avelus, but even Isurei Avel during this period of time of Aninus. And L'chora, at first glance, we would say that there's an afkamina between the Ramban and the Rambam in the case of a Shmua. What do I mean by case of a Shmua? A person gets nebuch a phone call that in a far off place on the other side of the world, he lost one of his relatives. And even though it's before the Kvura, but nevertheless, he has no possibility of being Osek B'mitzvahs Kvura. So again, according to the Ramban Shita, that the Misa itself engenders Avelus, just that because he's an Osek B'mitzvahs Kvura, he cannot fulfill the positive aspects of Avelus, namely Nilas HaSandal and Kfiyas HaMita. In this case, that he's not Osek B'mitzvahs Kvura, because he's so far away, and there are others who are taking care of the Kvura, Therefore, the full brunt of Avelus, the whole package deal, is going to be Chal. He's going to begin Shiva, and he's going to count the 7 days of Avelus immediately when he gets this phone call. And that, in fact, is the way that the Netziv, in his Sholom Meshiv, quotes Rabbi Rafal Shapiro, who paskin that in the case of such a Shmua, when he's not involved in the burial of the dead, then he's chayv and avelus, and he starts his shiva immediately. Why? Again, the logic is because he's not involved in kvura. If he's not involved in kvura, there's nothing to prevent the avelus from being chal. Again, the avelus is engendered, according to the Ramban sheet at least, by misa. Narvas, we say that he cannot be mekayim the positive dimensions of avelus because he is too torud, he's too involved in kvura. In this case, he's not torud b'kvura. And if he's not an osik b'mitzvah kvura, says Rabbi Fall, therefore, he should be chayv in avelus. Again, when I say avelus, I mean not only the negative aspects of avelus. That's always true, that according to the Ramban, with misa, all the isurei avel achal, but even the kiyum of avelus, that too should be chal. The Netziv himself disagrees with Rabbi Rafael, and this is very practical in contemporary times. It always was practical, but today that there are so many, people are all over the world and communications are so fantastic that it became very, very relevant in contemporary society, this kind of case. And the Netziv says he cannot begin his avelus. Why? The Netziv says because the kvura has not yet taken place. There's no such thing, says the Netziv, as avelus and counting shiva without kvura. And basically it sounds like the Netziv in his psak is embodying or reflecting the shita of the Rambam. That the Rambam shita is that there's no avelus until after kvura. And in this case, even though he's not being osek in kvura, nevertheless, avelus itself is postponed by its very nature till after kvura. So as the Ramban would say that avelus really is inherent in misa, just we have a problem of chovas kvura and it's askus b'kvura. Once we solve the problem, we neutralize this askus b'kvura. Memela, there's a full-fledged avelus with misa. But according to the Rambam shita, that avelus is postponed until after kvura. It's kvura that engenders avelus. Then the Netziv Psak makes 100% is 100% correct that there will be no avelus in this case until after kvura. And from a certain perspective, you could say that in this case, Dafka Rab Rafael is the one who's being makil. What do I mean he's being makil? I mean, it's hard to say he's being makil when he says that that avelus already begins. That means he's enjoined from all Isurei Avel. But he's being makil in the fact that the avelus will end earlier, if you follow what I mean. On the calendar date, if you start counting Shiva from the moment that he got this terrible phone call, then Shiva's going to end. It could be that it'll take days until they bury the dead. Who knows? But and be that as it may, that even though you're starting avelus, earlier, and that's a chumrah, but it's also a kula because you end avelus earlier. According to the Netziv, you cannot begin avelus earlier than the kvura. There's no such thing as avelus before kvura. So you cannot start counting shiva until after kvura. And if you get a notification days later that the kvura took place, then and only then, according to the Netziv, Can you begin Shiva counting the 7 days? Now I just want to add one comment to this whole discussion. And that is, you may remember, this was about a month ago, that we saw the Shi'urim L'Zecher Abba Mori. We photocopied it. And there he comes to the conclusion that according to the Rambam Shita, Ein Achinami Misa engenders Avelus. A whole different approach to the Rambam. Not the way we saw the Rambam and we read the Rambam and interpreted the Rambam that Avelus begins with Kvura. No. The Rambam is on the same page as the Ramban. Fundamentally agrees that Misa engenders Avelus. But said the Rav, the reason why, according to the Rambam, Avelus is postponed until after Kvura is because of the Din of Aninus. In other words, the Rambam holds that Avelus Lechud and Anidus Lechud, when Anidus comes to its termination, and the dead is buried, right? So burial is the culmination of Aninus. An Onen is totally dedicated to the mitzvah of Kvura. Once the mitzvah of Kvura takes place and is implemented, the mail of the Aninus comes to its termination. At that moment, Avelus is Chal. That's the Rambam Shita. If that be the case, then I have problems with Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you take a look at the second paragraph on your page, Tosfos at the end of this long Tosfos here that starts on Yud Zayin Amud Beis and ends on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that his sister died and he was out of town and her husband took over the kvura. He drank wine and ate meat, meaning Aninus was not chal. Now, wait a second. It doesn't seem, at the face of it, that he started his avelus, Rabbeinu Tam. It sounds like Rabbeinu Tam was, at this point, was in a state of limbo. He was neither here nor there. He was not an onen who's also a possible yayin because he was not involved in kvura. But on the other hand, it doesn't say that he was an avel, that he started sitting shiva. It sounds like he waited to sit shiva until after the kvura would take place. And that lechora contravenes what we said before. If we're saying before that really the avelus should start with misa, but what pushes off the avelus, it's the aninus, then in the case of Rabbeinu Tam, where he was not an onen, and haraya, he ate meat and drank wine, so that his avelus should have begun, he should have begun immediately. So why was it, that's what I'm trying to figure out, that Rabbeinu Tam pushed off his avelus until after Kvura? This I don't know. It would seem that Rabbeinu Tam would support the Nitziv, that when the Rambam says that Ein, what does he say? Kol zman shelo nikbar ames, eino osu v'dover min ha-dvarim shavol ovel behem. It means literally that avelus can only begin with kvura. And since Rabbeinu Tam was in that situation of pre-kvura, therefore he was not an ovel. And the avelus would only begin after kvura. That's the Rambam Shita straight away. It's not that the misa itself generates, but the aninus pushes it off. But rather, it's the fact that it's Misa that engenders Avelus. I'm sorry, Kvura engenders Avelus. And since Rabbeinu Tam was in the station before Kvura, therefore, he was not an Ovel.
Is he an Onen if you're not...
So the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam is that he's not an Onen. He's literally in limbo. Mimarashach. An Onen he can't be, even though Misa engenders Aninus in general, because he's not involved in Kvura. An Avel he can't be because it's only Kvura that engenders Avel. So he's literally in a limbo state. That's what it comes out. Which I think would be the simple, straightforward pshat in the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that up until Kvura, Eino Osir B'dvarim and Advarim Shavel Osir Behem. The whole institutional enterprise of Avelus is postponed till after Kvura. What about Aninus? Oh, so that's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Why am I an Onen if I'm not involved in Kvura at all? There's no Askus B'Kvura. And in fact, that is exactly what the Nitziv says about this case of a person who gets a phone call from a far-off country that he lost one of his krovim. It's between Misa and Kvura. Says the Nitziv, he cannot be given his Avelus until after Kvura. Even though he's not an Onen. He's not an Onen because he has no involvement in the Kvura.
Is that the definition of an Onen?
I think so. I think that's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying.
Well, that's not everyone.
Not everyone. Not everyone. But I'm saying if you take, for example, the first interpretation of the Yerushalmi, actually it came out to be the second, but if you take the Yerushalmi that says, what is Aninus? Is Ein lo Misha Yiso Maso, meaning this Askus B'Kvura engenders Aninus, says Rabbeinu Tam, that's the Shita that we accept. We identify Aninus with this Askus B'Kvura. In my case, I have no Chofas this Askus B'Kvura. I gave that over to the husband. I'm in a different city. I mean, we'll see about that point. I'm in a different city, but in this case of Shmua from Medina Rechoka, says the Netziv, an onen you won't be because you're in a Medina Rechoka, you're not involved in Kvura. On the other hand, an Avil you can't be because there's no Kvura. I would have said, this would have been an amendment on Rabbeinu Tam, a change to Rabbeinu Tam, that both the Ramban and the Rambam agree that Avelus is kicked off by Misa. The only thing is that when you're an Onen, we're going to push off your Avelus. But if you're not an Onen, then begin Avelus immediately. And you should know that Rafal Shapiro, he was one of the Gdolim, he came up with a very interesting psak. He says the following: if you hear such a shmua, then you start counting Shiva immediately, and you finish 7 days later. But the actual Avelus is suspended till after the Kvura. In other words, basically what Rabbi Fall did, listen carefully, is he implemented what we call the rule of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Ba'avel. But he has a new twist on Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Ba'avel. You know, just to give you a Beispiel, you remember at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, we spoke about being Mekel to start Ma'ariv early, and at the same time to be Mekel and start Mincha late. And can we take both kulas from Yudin Chachamim? And Tosus says that you're allowed to take both kulas, and it's not considered a Tarti the Sastra. Okay, well, you'll take a look at that Tosus and what we discussed there. Rabbi Fall says that Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel goes in both directions. So for example, if we accept both kulas, number one, he can start counting Shiva immediately. He's parted from Dini Avelis until after the Kvura. So what he gains is that he'll only be Noeg Avelus and all the Surei Avel for a very short period of time. Let's say, again, Lu Yitzuyer, it took them 2-3 days until they buried the dead. So his Avelus Befal, in terms of his Kiyum Avelus going to Rabbi Befal, will only be 3 days or 4 days. Right, there's Mikzah Yom Kikul at the end. So he's ending up with 4 days and change, or 3 days and change. Why? I mean, after all, If you would go with the Ramban Shita that Misa engenders Avelus, he should have been enjoined from all the Isuri Avel from the moment of Misa a full 7 days. Ella, what? You're going to tell me that the Rambam is right. No, if the Rambam is right, you cannot start Avelus until after Kvura. And therefore, the Rambam would say that, according to, let's say, if you go with this approach, that the Rambam holds that Avelus is engendered by Kvura, so then he could only start counting Shiva 7 days after the Kvura. So what is Rabbi Fall saying? He's saying, on the one hand, I'm gonna kick off Avelus with what? With Misa, which in this case means that his Avelus is abridged, and he's being Mekil, cutting down, truncating the Avelus, based on the Shita of the Ramban, that Avelus begins with Misa, or based on the Shita, the second version that we offered in Rabbeinu Tam, the amendment on Rabbeinu Tam, that since there's no Aninus, Avelus starts immediately. And yet, as far as all the Surei Avel are concerned, right, let's say he wants to take a hot bath, we're going to tell him he's allowed to take a hot bath. Why? Because the Rambam Shita is that when does Avelus begin? With Kvura. So you're going to start Avelus with Misa based on the Mekilim. Whether that Kula is the Ramban straight away, that the Ramban holds that in general Avelus begins with Misa. Or even if you don't want to go that far, based on the Kula in what I call the amended version of Rabbeinu Tam, that if there's no Aninus, right, because he's not involved in the Kvura, he's so far away, therefore Avelus is Chal immediately. Fine. Now you're going to tell me you can truncate Avelus because you start Avelus immediately with Misa. No. If that be the case, then all the Suri Avelus should be knowing, because you're telling me that the Misa engenders Avelus. No. Says Rabbi Fall, we could be Mekil like the Shitas HaRambam, again the simple, what I call the straightforward Shitas HaRambam, the way the Netziv understood the Rambam. Namely, that it's not Misa that engenders Avelus, but kvura, that engenders avelus, the kvura took place days later, and we could be makil with a tarti de sasri. So it means, Rabosai, let's get this clear. Halacha kedivrei ha-makel ba'avel is not what you call hachroas ha-sfekis. Meaning, if there's a machmir opinion in the poskim and a makel in the opinion of the poskim, well, we'll assume that the mekilim are correct. In other words, the principles of halacha will be determined by the mekilim. And if that's what it is, if halacha kedivrei ha-makel is just halacha and hachroas ha-sfekis, then you can't hold on to the rope from both ends and then accept the opposite view to be makel like the opposite view. Yeah, you can't get the benefit of both worlds. The answer is that halacha kedivrei ha-makel ba'avel is not hachroas ha-sfekis, it's halacha and hanhaga, what we call. This is the way you fear tzach ois. This is the way you are noeg lamaisa befall in avelus. Says Rabbi Fall, if that be the case, I can take halacha kedivrei ha-makel in any way I want, as long as there's a shita to rely on. That's what I'm going to fall back on. I can be makel in all directions. So I just wanted you to have that in mind.
I don't understand what shiva is then. Before kavura. What is shiva? Are you
going to
wear non-leather shoes? Are you
going to
sit on the...
So that's what we're saying, Mike. We're saying that shiva is a halach of melos. Melos means I count the days of avelus.
So you're not doing anything.
Right. It's just a halach of melos. I count... How long should the avelus last? Correct? It's kind of like, again, don't equate it, but it's like the halach of mitzayom kekula, right? On the seventh day. You know, you call that a day of avelus, and yet he's not being knowing avelus, maybe for a half hour or an hour, whatever he does. So that you see that there's halach and melos. Melos means we count, you know, we're counting. I'll give you an example. In Tumah Vitara, it's also din of melos, right? 7 days for a zav. And it could be that he could go to mikvah on the beginning of the seventh day, meaning the seventh day hasn't even completed yet. The same thing applies, by the way, in the Zerus, you know, where there's a din of melos in Shloshim Yom. Whenever there's a din of melos, we apply the principle of mixus hayom kekulo. So there'll be a very odd halachic animal, so to speak, a manifestation of a completion of a melos, and I count that day as part of the melos, even though there's no kiyum of that mitzvah, whether it be taras hazav, whether it be the isur shtiyas yahid of a nazir, whether it be all the 11 isuri avelus of an avel, and I'm sure there are many, many, many other examples of it. It goes so far, Michael, you won't even believe it, that there were poskim who asked the following question, and they worked very hard to come up with an answer, but just listen to the question. Why do I have to observe Tisha B'Av for a full 24 hours? The very moment that I wake up in the morning on Tisha B'Av, and I sit down on the floor, whatever I do, and I'm enjoined from all the inuyim, I can apply the principle of Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. Imagine, they wanted to truncate Tisha B'Av. Again, this is not a serious, don't walk out of here and tell me a new, you know, we have a new psak here that we came up with. No, just saying, but the etzem ha-shayla, you know, whether or not melos, could the dinim of melos could apply to Tisha B'Av, or Tisha B'Av is a full day of avelus, that itself was something that occupied the minds of the Rishonim even. That's halach and melos. Now, again, in order to kick off the melos of Shiva and begin counting Shiva, I need some shita in the poskim that would maintain that Misa itself begins Avelus. Or at least that in this particular case, namely where there's no Aninus, because I'm so far away, there's no assessment, that Avelus could begin immediately. Does that mean, therefore, that if I begin Avelus as far as counting the melos of Shiva, that ipso facto I have to be knowing the 11 Isuri Avel? Intuitively, you and I would say yes. You have to be consistent. If you're paskening like the Ramban or this version of Rabbeinu Tam, that Avelus begins with Misa, there's no Aninus, Avelus begins with Misa in Rabbeinu Tam's framework, then you have to be knowing the Surei Avel. No, it's a halacha in Shiva. It's halach in counting Shiva, that I can count Shiva based on those shitas and Rishonim that are makil and say that Shiva begins now and ends there for 7 days later. On the other hand, if you ask me, in this case where I have a suffix, whether or not I should be knowing Avelus or not, is Avelus immediate with Misa, I have to postpone it until after Kfura, here, I can fall back on the Shitas HaMekilim, which is the straightforward, simple pshat in the Rambam, that Avelus is engendered and can only begin with me, with Kvura. And if that be the case, I have this very odd situation where I begin my Avelus, and I'm counting, the clock is ticking. You know, it's enough. Give me these, what do they call them? The Avelus candles, the yardside candles. Have you seen them? They now have them, a 7-day candle, you know. So, you know, when should you start lighting the candle? I'm joking with you, but just L'Sabra Sa'ozen. I can already start the counting immediately after the Misa, because Rabbi Natan's situation was such that he was so far away. Or the Ramban in general holds that Isuri Avil are engendered with Misa itself. But if you ask me, do I have to take the Ramban lock, stock, and barrel? And ipso facto, if I'm counting on Velus, I have to be knowing Isuri Avil. No. Halachically, Rabbi Meikel, and here I'm going to flex the muscle of the Ramban, and I'm going to fall back on his sheet that it's Kvura that engenders Avelus. I just thought that was an interesting discussion. Oh. Now I want to talk about Rabbi Natan himself. So Rabbi Natan is of the opinion, says Tosfos, that aninus, which patters you from mitzvahs, is because of his askus bekvura. Okay. But here in this case, that Rabbi Natan lost his sister, who is going to be osik bekvura? Rabbi Natan's brother-in-law, and it's the Baal of the Isha. And therefore the other krovim are pturim mimitzas kvura. They're not involved in burying the dead. And therefore, there's no aninus. So hence Rabbi Natan drinks wine and eats meat even before the kvura. Says Tosfos, there's one thing that I don't understand about Rabbi Natan. The story of Rabbi Natan was that he was in a different city. The Efshar, it's possible. And that word V'efshar really bothers me. I would say Ubarur, you know. Shegamim Rabbi Natan, Hoya Be'ir Atzmo, if he was in that very city, Hoya Mekil Me'oso Atam. If the logic of Rabbi Natan is to identify his askus bekvura as the essence of aninus, and therefore, in the case where the Baal is chayav in kvura, he, the brother in this case, the Nshar Krovim, are not obligated in kvura, they're not being osek bekvura, is that what difference it make whether he's in this city or he's in a different city? Rabbi Natan l'chora logically should have been mekil, that there's no chalos aninus, and therefore there's no isur basar v'yayin, even if he's in the same identical city. What difference it make? The whole logic of Rabbi Natan is predicated on the fact that the Baal is chayav bekfura, and that alleviates all the other krovim of any side of any type of or expression of tirda of kfura, of his askus bekfura. Well, what's this din that he's out of the sin?
Is that meaning, or is it that he physically can't be involved? If you're in the same city, you have a chiyuv to help. If you physically can't, you can't get there for 2 days, 3 days.
Okay, Michael, you're saying something very possible. I don't know. Again, let me just review what I'm saying. I'm bothered by the word efshar because I would have said that pshita, that Rabbi Natan, if he was in the same city, the same logic would apply. So why is Tosfos has a suffix and he's vacillating that maybe Rabbi Natan was only mekil for yayin and basa because he was in a different city? Had he been in the same city, he would be an onain full fledged, and therefore he would be enjoined from eating meat and drinking wine. Says Michael that maybe if he's in the same city, he would have to lend a shoulder to his brother-in-law, and in some sense, he is, I don't know what you call it, you know, again, I hate to use American culture here, but he's in the on deck circle. How do you say it? There must be, yeah, okay, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. In baseball in America, what happens is that, you know, if one pitcher, you know, the main person in every, there's always a main, right, in what we call football, which you have a different name for it, American football, it's the quarterback, right? You heard of a quarterback, Michael? It doesn't mean anything to you. Okay. I don't know in soccer, is there a main player in soccer?
It's the goalie.
Everybody. Oh, the goalie. Yeah, the goalie, right? Let's say, I mean, love and soccer, I'm just using it as a beispiel. Yes. Don't take me. So I'm saying that in every sport, when you have a main guy, there's someone, and again, this is a cultural term, in the on-deck circle. What does that mean? Let's say that this pitcher gets very tired, or he's just having a bad day.
Substitute.
See, I have a substitute. He's waiting in the wings. You follow me? So I think, Michael, what you're saying is that although the main chiyuv kvura is incumbent upon the baal, and we have to see why we're going to try to develop that, but nevertheless, the other krovim, insofar as they're in the city, they also have a fallback or substitute kind of obligation. Good. I like that. I thought, again, that this is just to offer an alternative. You know, I'm not saying that mine is better than yours, Michael, but I wanted to suggest perhaps an alternative way of understanding the Tosfos. Perhaps Tosfos holds, and I'm going back to this Yerushalmi, not like the Misha Enlo Lisa Maso, Enlo Misha Yisa Maso, meaning his Hisaskus Bekfura, but maybe Rabbeinu Tam holds that what engenders Aninus, the first interpretation, Yerushalmi, of Meso Mutal Lefanov. And the question is, what's Lefanov? As far as Aninus is concerned. So the first principle that we have to establish is that anyone who's Chayiv in Kvura, he's called Lefanov. Okay, that's Lefanov. But then Rabbeinu Tam wants to ask the following question. Supposing a person has got a situation in which he does not have a full-fledged Chiyuv Kvura. What do I mean? That the brunt of the Chiyuv Kvura essentially is chal on one individual. In this case, of Rabbeinu Tam, the Baal. Says Rabbeinu Tam, in this case, the Chiyuv Kvura, which again would apply anywhere you are on the face of the globe, is and would engender Aninus, is suspended. Why? Because you don't have a Chiyuv Kvura. Why? Because the Baal is Chiyuv Kvura. That's what I'm suggesting. Do you hear Michael Divinshin, your pshat, my pshat? You're saying that the Baal is Chayiv, but that doesn't necessarily alleviate the others of their responsibility. I'm willing to go even further, because I have a whole shtickle teria that I want to share with you about why the Baal is Chayiv in Kfur. I think he's in a very unique position according to the Halacha. I don't mean physically, I mean according to the Halacha. And therefore the Chayiv of Kfur is incumbent upon him to the exclusion of the other Krov. And if that be the case, this halacha of Aninus, which is chal on all krovim, no matter where they are on the face of the earth, as a result of the Chiyuv Kvura, that halacha has to be suspended. But, says Rabbeinu Tam, there's another halacha which engenders Aninus, even if there is no Chiyuv Kvura. And that's a halacha called Misha Meso Mutal Lefanov. Now, what does that mean, Misha Meso Mutal Lefanov? So I'd like to suggest the following. That Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that there is some sort of tirda. I wouldn't call it a chiyuv kvura, but at least a tirda of misha meso mutal lefanov. Let's take, for example, hesped. I don't know, again, I could be dead wrong about this, so take this with a grain of salt, with very limited liability. I don't know that the other krovim, meaning other than the baal, are alleviated from the chiv hesped. Okay, so again, I'm not signing you on to this, but I just want you to hear, as we say in Yiddish, to hear what I want to suggest. Maybe just, I don't know. What I would like to say is that although the baal is chayiv in kvura, but there are, within the context of kvodo shel mes, there's an expanded scope of responsibility. And Rabbeinu Tam, therefore, according to Tosfos' one side, and Tosfos is not sure about it, would make a differentiation between the other krovim who are in the city and the krovim who are outside the city. Meaning, we're going to take the krovim and divide them up into three categories. Category number one is the Baal. What's unique about his category? He has a chiyuv kvura, geendik, period. Category number two are Shar Krovim, who are outside the city. And Rabbi Nitam holds that they are lacking in both A and B. Number one, they don't have a chiyuv kvura, because that's incumbent upon the Baal. And number two, they don't even have a chiyuv of kvodo shel mes. So that even though there are two different methods of engendering aninus and the isur yayin and basur yayin, nevertheless, in a case of a karov, when there's a baal and that karov is outside the city, mimanafshach, he's not an onen. He's not an onen because he doesn't have the chi of kvura, nor is it an onen under the law of kvodo shel mes because kvodo shel mes is irrelevant to him. He's far away. Again, you'll ask me the question, why is it if he's in another city? That I don't know. Okay, let's assume, you know, maybe today, you know, we would have an expanded definition. You know, even if it's the, you know, the twin city, you know, Kovna and Slabodka were two different cities, but, you know, you just crossed over the boundary and from Kovna you were in Slabodka. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing here, I don't know. Masha Enkein, the middle category. What's the middle category? Those are Krovim, other than the Baal, but they're within the city. And here Rabbeinu Tam would maintain, according to one side in Tosfos, that although the Chiyuv Kvura is completely suspended, according to this particular Pshat, because there's one, we single out one Karov who's exclusively obligated in Kvura, and that's the Baal. But nevertheless, even in the absence of a Chiyuv Kvura, we can engender the status of Aninus because of Meis HaMutulufa. And here Rabbeinu Tam felt that that relationship that the Karov has to the Mes, which is called Mesa Mutul Afar, that engenders Aninus, is limited to the geographic limitation of they're both in the same city, the Mes and the Karov.
There's a big problem, because what happens, I mean, it's not very nice, the ikka of the whole thing is Kvod Shel HaMes, right? What happens, according to that shitta, if the Baal is outside the city, he's 3 days journey away, and the other Krovim are inside the city. You're telling me you've got to wait for the Baal to come back?
So no, so then I would say fakert that the Baal is mufka from the Chiyuv Kvura.
Yeah.
Again, in other words, what?
It's his responsibility.
No, again, it's his responsibility within limits. Meaning, Chiyuv Kvura is the, how shall I say, the apex of Kvod Shel Mes.
Yeah.
We're not going to sacrifice Kvod. I'll give you an example. I would not say, let's say a person dies and there's only one karov. I just did an extreme case, and that karov is laid up in a hospital. I would say that now it becomes a mes mitzvah. In other words, we're not even krovim. We have a chiyuv kvura. But kol shekein v'kal v'chomer, in a case where the baal is nowhere to be found, that the krovim have a primary chiyuv kvura. Now that I think is clear. All right. Now, I wanted to suggest the following. Take a look for a moment at the Rush, which is the next source on your page. And here's the Rush Afanorot right here in Perek Misha Mesa. First, the Rush presents the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. And he's not vacillating about Rabbeinu Tam. He says, Lefi Tam Zeh, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the Chiyuv Kvura is on the Baal, is Afim Hoya Be'ir Mutter. Even if Rabbeinu Tam had been in the same city, he would be allowed to drink wine and eat meat. Honestly, I'm very happy with that. You know, Ad Kan, rah, 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 cheers for the Rosh. I think he's 100% right. Tosis comes up with this distinction between if he's in the city, out of the city, and we're racking our brains to figure that out. Oh, but here the going gets a little rough. And the Rush is not happy with Rabbeinu Tam. Because the Rush thinks that Rabbeinu Tam points his finger at the Baal as far as the Chiyuv Kvura and singles out the Baal for a very specific reason. And that reason, if you take it to its logical conclusion, should lead us to an impossible and untenable position that cannot be even entertained, that you can't even cross your mind. Let me go through these two premises. Premise number one, This is the analysis of the Rosh of Rabbeinu Tam, that the Baal receives exclusive rights, so to speak, or responsibilities on the mitzvah of Kvura, because he is a Yorish. Because he inherits his wife's possessions. And that is the halacha, Rabosai. I mean, if you learn the sugyas, I think in, I'm not sure if it's in Nara Mispatito, but anyway, in the fourth or fifth prakim of Masechet Ksubis, the Rabbanan instituted the following. A man marries a woman with Nisuin, we're talking about, because you know, in the Gemara they had a year between Eris and Nisuin. And with Nisuin, the marriage is completely clinched. And the Baal has many financial responsibilities, very stiff and heavy financial responsibilities vis-a-vis his wife, which is called mizonos. And again, I don't know how you feel about it, but at least back in Chazal's time, you know, mizonos is a very heavy responsibility. Mizonos includes a lot of different things. I'm not sure about birthdays and gifts, but it might even include that. So we have to... Whatever it is, the Rabbanan wanted to somehow, you know, find some sort of... What?
Shabbos flowers.
Yeah, flowers for Shabbos, whatever it might be. So the Rabbanan tried to make a little bit of an equilibrium here. In other words, notwithstanding the fact that the Baal has the main responsibility of mizonos, to give him some, what the Israelis call, this is an Arabic word, chupar. You know, let's give him a gift, you know, a quid pro quo, a gift. So what do we give him? We give him the Yerusha of his wife. Okay? Oh. So the Rosh understands that Kvura involves, shall we say, two elements. You know, we very rarely think about this. You know, we think of Kvura, and that's how we've been saying it for weeks now, that Kvura is Isa Veheta, you know, belongs to Ilkus Yerodea. It's part of the Mitzvah Avelus, and it's Kvoda Shel Mes, and that's Kvura. But there's another dimension to Kvura that we don't like to think about, and that is Dine Mominus. There is a monetary element to Kvura. Here, we're not used to it so much because, you know, the government will bury you, you know. But could you imagine, even in this country, if you're not happy with the government burying you, and you got to buy a kever. So again, in the old days, you went out to Eretz Achaim, you know, and I remember about, 20 years ago, when they were selling plots, you know, outside of Beit Shemesh for peanuts, you know. But today, even Beit Shemesh, you got to be a rich guy to be buried there, you know what I'm saying? So what do we do in such a case? So we say to the Baal, look, since the Chi of Kfura has two dimensions to it, it's not just a din of Isa Vehet, it's not just a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, but it really is a shibud mamon. It's a monetary obligation. And the law is that if the Baal refuses, we'll confiscate his property, we'll freeze his bank accounts, or whatever we have to do, we'll dip into his pocket in order to make sure that he pays for the Kfura of his wife. Therefore, they imposed upon him the mitzvah of Kvura. Oh. Says the Rosh, fascinating. If this be the case, if that's how Rabbeinu Tam understands this halacha, that the Chi of Kvura is exclusively on the Baal because of his rights to inherit his wife, then forget about a married woman who died. Let's just talk about a classical case of one of the Krovim died. Let's say the father died, right? Who should bury the father? Who, according to Rabbeinu Tam, should have the Chi of Kvura? Again, the Chi of Kvura depends upon Yerusha, because Yerusha engenders a Shibud Mamon. No, the sons should have to bury their father. But there are other relatives. You know, there's a brother, and maybe the grandfather's alive, Chas V'Shalom. I mean, that's the worst tragedy. What?
Daughters.
And daughters. What about the daughters? In other words, the daughters, and the brothers, and so forth and so on. So, you basically reduce the Zion Krovim, in terms of the Chi of Kvura, to one category, namely the male sons, because they are the Yorshim. Again, what would be in Bnos Slavchan, I don't know. You know, you really have to declare that, Hakira, in the Rosh's logic. There are no sons. Now, we know that this is not so. We never, ever came, you know, encountered the possibility that the Chi of Kvura, therefore Aninus, is uniquely singular to the Banim. Could you imagine? We're going to say now that all other relatives, other than the Bon of the Yarshim, have no Aninus, because they have no Chi of Kvura. Das kann nicht sein. That's an untenable, untenable position. So that's what the Rosh, I think, is asking. Again, the language is really tough. But I think that he was saying, he says, U'milsa de t'miyahi. You know, you can begin to, you know, identify with the Rosh. T'miya. You know, it's like, really doesn't make any sense. Dim kain, lo yina ganinus el bibanim. Vilobi aviv, vilobi achiv. I know why they didn't mention Achosov and Vnosov. Okay. Vilishna the Masha el kola misabel, areyu kamo one. The Gemara says that anyone who's chayiv in avelus. In other words, chayiv kvura is part of avelus. Are you an avil or you're not an avil? And the answer is if you're one of the Zion Krovim, then you're chayiv in an avelus, and therefore it's a fact that you're chayiv in kvura. We never said that dine avelus, which make a distinction between bonim and the rest of the Krovim, because insofar as bonim, have a special status in Dini Mominus because they inherit the father's possessions, therefore they're chayv in kvura to the exclusion of everyone else. So I grant you that it's true based on the Sugi Ksubis that Habal Yorish is Ishto. But therefore, you want to undermine the chayv kvura from everybody else, all the other Krovim, and say that they don't have Aninus, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam is, again, because again, keep in mind that according to Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Rosh's version of Rabbeinu Tam, it was crystal clear that in any situation, even if Rabbeinu Tam is sitting in the same house as his brother-in-law before Kvura cannot drink wine, but he can drink wine. Maybe they shouldn't be drinking from the same table, because he'll give him a drink of wine. Why is he, Rabbeinu Tam, allowed to drink wine? Because it's the Baal who's Yorish Ish, so therefore he's exclusively Chayev and Kvura. That is the way I understand the Kasha of Rabbeinu Tam, of the Rosh on Rabbeinu Tam, sorry. Oh. But I think Rabosai, if we go back to the source of Rabbeinu Tam, perhaps we can save the day. I don't know. I'm not sure. The Gemara in Yevamos says the following. Adam yoresh es ishto ktana. Let's say a man marries a ktana. Now, whether or not that's d'oraisa or d'rabbanu would depend. If her father's alive, then that's d'oraisa. And if it's not so, and her mother marries her off, or her brothers, whatever it is, that's called kedushe d'rabbanan. So obviously this whole din is only d'rabbanan, that a man inherits his wife who's a ketana. Then it says, umetamila. Umetamila means that he has to bury her. And it seems, that's I think this is Rabbeinu Tam's logic, that Yerusha and Kvura and Chi of Kvura are one and the same. But take a look at how the Rambam interprets that Sugi in Yevamos. You know, we have to get used to looking into the Rambam as a Mefarish. You know, he's like Pirush Rashi on the Gemara in Yevamos. The Rambam writes that if a Kohen's wife dies, he, the Kohen, has to be Metami to her and violate his Kedushas Kahuna, Al Karcha, whether he likes it or not. And then the Rambam adds another word here. He says, Asu'uha Kimes Mitzvah. Whoa, the Rambam is bothered by the fact that this din is only Derabbanon. Why? Because again, Ishto, the word Ishto in the Rambam includes both Ketana and Gedola. So if she was Ishto Gedola, then you have to know if a Baal is Matami to his Isha, Da'oraisa, or not. But it, certainly in the case of a Ketana, if the Kedushin are only Derabbanon, this whole din is only Derabbanon. Says the Rambam, but I have another source, another category to, like to hang my hat on. I could hang my hat on the din of Mes Mitzvah. The Rabbanan established that in this case, the Baal has a chiyu vis-a-vis his wife to bury her as if she were a Mes Mitzvah. That's pretty amazing. Like, why is she a Mes Mitzvah? Says the Rambam, Kevon she'ein lo yoresh elahu lo timtza mishis asik ba. The Rabbanan were worried that, you know, this is what we call passing the buck, meaning nobody's going to want to get involved in the burial of this woman with all the concomitant expenses. Why? Because guess what? We don't get the Yerusha. He gets the Yerusha. And therefore the Rabbanan established a halacha of mes mitzvah. So the reason why, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I believe, in the light of this sugya Yivamis and the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, why is it that the Baal's Chiv Kvura is exclusive? And the answer is because the Rabbanan made a new takana to be mechayev the Baal, and it matters not whether his wife is a gdola or a ktana in all cases, as if she were a mes mitzvah. In other words, this halacha that the Yoresh has the exclusive Chiv Kfur that's unique to Ishto, and therefore the Chiv Kfur is imposed upon the Baal and only on the Baal. But if the father dies, for example, which was the Kash of the Rush, then the sons have no special Chiv Kfura to bury their father. They never made a takana that, as far as the sons are concerned, the father is considered a mes mitzvah that we only find by Ishto. And therefore the son and all the other relatives have a Chiyuv Kfura. In other words, this halach that a Shibud Mamon as a Yoresh engenders a unique, exclusive Chiyuv Kfura is limited to the husband. His Shibud Mamon, which the Rabbanan established, give him a Chiyuv to bury his wife as if she were a mes mitzvah, because the others are going to say, why should we get involved? You know, he's got all the bucks, you know, he's inheriting her, let him take a slice of that money to pay the Chevra Kadisha or the monument maker, or whoever it is. But the others are not going to do it. We never found that such takana was made in general for Yarshim to be chayev exclusively in Kfura, and therefore to undermine the Chiyuv Kfura from anyone else. We don't find that a son is obligated to bury his father as if he were burying a mes mitzvah. So when does Rabbeinu Tam insist that it is the Baal who's chayev in Kfura, therefore not, he's an Onein, but not the rest of the Krovim, and according to the Rush that applies, even if he's in the same city? That's only with regard to a Baal. The husband has a unique chiyuv vis-a-vis his wife to bury her as a mes mitzvah. So far as the Rambam says that therefore Kohen is mitame to his wife, even if, let's say, this whole din is the Rabbanon, but nevertheless they gave her a status of a mes mitzvah. So the Rabbanon, with regard to a wife, established that she's a mes mitzvah situation, but we don't find that the Rabbanon made a similar takana with regard to Yorshim in general, that whoever's the Yoresh, he has the exclusive obligation to bury the dead. No, there's no special din of mes mitzvah. Anyone who's a karov is chayv in avelus. Anyone who's chayv in avelus is chayv in kvura, and therefore the Rosh's kasha is not a kash. That's what I'd like to suggest. Now, Rabos, I wanted to talk to you a few minutes about the Rush, not here, but elsewhere, in Masechta Moed Kut. And this is the sugya, which I think relates to our sugya, of what's called Likut Atzamos. And before we get to Likut Atzamos per se, let's talk about Mefanin Oso Mikever Lekever. We'll soon see that the Rush is going to establish some sort of a linkage between Mefanin, Mikever Lekever, and Likud Atzamos. But let's just understand the Rush. The Rush says, Maisa v'yechad shetofso ha-moshel. I'm sorry, I started the wrong Rush. Rabbeinu Meir Zal. Okay, this is the Maram Mirutenberg. We've seen him. He plays a major role in the Rush, always. He was the Rush's Rebbe. And he says that in the case of Likud Atzamos, there is a din of Aninus. So it means that if you decide to, let's say a person was interred 20 years ago, 50 years ago, and you decided to, how do you say Likud Atzamos in English? Exhume the body and rebury it elsewhere. So there's halacha of aninus. Why? Because you're obligated now in reburying the dead. And he equates it to the case of Mefanin Mikever Lekever. And I bolded the main line in the Maram. The Maram says, Niradi Oso Ayom, Hu Kiyom Kvuro Linyin Zeh. As far as that day is concerned, when the body is being removed from one kever and reinterred in another, calls Manchel Nikbar, Chalal of Dinaninus, Lesar Bachilas Bosar Ushasias Yayin. And the Rosh himself disagrees. Umasha Kosar Rabbeinu Zal, Sha'osar Bachilas Bosar Ubishasias Yayin, calls Manchel Nikbar, Lo Yadanu Minolon. Minolo, to lishna mashmid biyad b'shas likud atzamos chalalov avelus the ketoni amalaket atzamos aviv harezeh misabel olav. So let's just understand the Maram. The Maram makes 100% sense, I think, because what is aninus? We've said over and over again, aninus is engendered by his askus imames, you know, you have to bury the dead. In this case of Likud Atzamos, you have to bury the dead. So therefore, you have a din of an onen. Comes along the Rosh, and he says, no, there's no din of an onen. Why? Because he's chal, what's chal on him is a din of avelus, immediately from the moment of Likud Atzamos. I don't know. It seems to me that it makes more logic to accept the Maram Mirutenberg in this case, because with all the definitions that we've been presenting here in what is aninus, if a person is obligated in kfura, then he's an onen. Now, what's the deal with mafane mikever lekever? So if you take a look back in the Rosh in Brachos, which is the paragraph before, he quotes the Yushalmi. And the Yushalmi says that mes shemefanen also mikever lekever. Let's say, for example, on a temporary basis, they weren't able to get to the Beis HaKvaros, so they decided to, they can't leave the dead on, you know, without burial, so they buried him on a temporary basis in a certain place. The hayam idaitam betchil lefanoso. From the get go, they buried him only on a temporary basis. Is ein monim lo avelus mishiyistom hagolel rishon ela mishiyistom hagolel hasheni. It would seem that since when they bury the dead on the first round, they knew, they already planned that they would take the deceased out of that burial, therefore the avelus can't be chal. Avelus can only be chal after the dead is buried in his final resting place, as we say. Umistamak shenikbar bekever rishon posak aninus. Interesting. So what you have here, you remember I discussed with you earlier the possibility of that in-between state, where on the one hand you're not an onen, and on the other hand you're not an avel. Here we have it in this case of a temporary burial. You cannot be considered an avel because that's not really called stimas agolel. We know that you're not buried. You know, you're going to be reburied in a different place. On the other hand, you can't be an onen because now the burial has been complete and he's not involved in the second burial. It'll take him a while till he gets involved in the second burial. And the Rosh wants to say that that's equal to the case of a person who died in jail and the moshel refuses to allow the body to be buried, lo nasan hamoshel lekvura kamiyamim, and the Rosh says in the name of the Ri that during this period of time he's not an onen. Why? Because until the moshel allows them to bury the dead, he has no involvement in burial of the dead. And also here, when there was a temporary burial, and they took the body until they take the body and rebury it in that midway period of time, there cannot be aninus. So again, there's no aninus when the moshel is holding on to the body, right? And Therefore, there should be no aninus, says the Rush, in the case of mefanen also mikever lekever, because once again, you already have the first burial, so you're not involved now in the second burial. So if there's no esaskus bikvura, is ipso facto, there's no what?
Aninus.
There's no aninus, correct. But the only thing that bothers me is, what would be, according to the Rush, if, let's say, they buried the dead without any intention of moving the dead to another place, and then they decided to exhume the body and bury it elsewhere? You get the impression from the Rush here in Brachos that, in his opinion, there would be no aninus in that case, right? In other words, when does the Rush say that there's no aninus? That's because we've already buried the dead, or we're not capable of burying the dead. But let's say we decide to exhume the body and bury it elsewhere. In such a case, we again reestablish aninus with a chiyuv kfura. That's the impression you get. Okay, Rabosai. Now, I would, yeah.
So let's say that you know there's a certain date you're going to exhume, the person is going to be exhumed.
Right.
Is it when you wake up in the morning, or just once they pull the body out of the, according to the opinion that you're...
I don't know. That's a great question, because on the one hand, he's not being osik bikfur until the afternoon. On the other hand, if we say that aninus is chal on the day, maybe the fact that they established that date, that itself could engender aninus. I don't know. So, B'lina Rabosai, we'll try to come back to that. What I want to just finish up today, if you turn towards the back of your page, that's page 2, is the sugya, which you'll find in the middle of the page, of Loeg L'Rosh. Actually, it's about 2/3 down from the top of the page. Tanya. Lo yahalech odom bebeis hakvaros utfilin berosho v'sefer Torah bizroo v'kore. V'yim osekein over mishum loeg l'rosh charef osehu. Now, what I'm worried about, what I'm wondering about here, is the following. What is going on? Is it that he's being mekayim a mitzvah with his tefillin, meaning he's wearing his tefillin? And that's the language of the Brisa, tefillin berosho. In the case of Sefer Torah, he's korei, he's fulfilling his mitzvah of kriya b'torah. So it means that the loeg l'rosh here is the involvement in a mitzvah. Or is there some sort of halacha that you're not allowed to take within a, you know, the close, call it a dalet amos of the mess, you can't bring in a chafetz shel mitzvah.
Maybe if it was covered.
And then maybe if it's covered, maybe that din doesn't apply. But what I'm trying to figure out here, what engenders loeg l'rosh? Is that violated because he's being mekayim a mitzvah and he's really, you know, waving it in the face of the mess? You know, you're potim in a mitzvah, but I'm chayev in mitzvahs. Or no, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with bringing the chefta shel mitzvah and waving that in front of the mess. That itself is loeg l'rosh. And the reason I raise this question is because Tosfos says that Sefer Torah Bizro B'Korel is who adin dal peh asol likros. And Tosfos seems to assume it has nothing to do with the chefta of the Sefer Torah. It has to do with the kiyum mitzvah. But then I open up the Rambam and I get a slightly different impression. The Rambam says in Perek Yudal Milchus Ovel Halacha Yud Gimel, he says Lo Yelech Adam on the third line. Lo Yelech Adam Betoch Arba Os Shel Kever Utfilin Biyado. And that's the way the Radbaz has it. The Radbaz says Tzorech Tam. This is three lines up before the end of the page. Lo Mashina Rabbeinu Kan Vekosav Tfilin Biyado. Meaning, if you take a look at the Brisa in Brachos Daf Yud Ches, which is the source of this Rambam, this Halacha, it says Tfilin Berosho. The Rambam has Tfilin Biyado. Yeshlo Adlomi Boy Bizman Shehem Berosho. The Rambam thinks it's lav dafka. You don't have to take the brisa literally. Ela shumakayim a mitzvah dikolor. Ela filu tofes osom biyado, says the Radbaz, also. And therefore the Rambam omits the word v'kore. No, there are two things in the Rambam here. Number one, when he gets the tefillin, the Rambam says biyado. And number two, when he gets to Sefer Torah, the Rambam doesn't say kore. So not only does he change the word tefillin b'rosh to tefillin biyado, but when he gets to Sefer Torah b'zro, the Rambam says that it doesn't matter whether he's kore or not. Now, apparently the Radbaz has a slightly different Rambam than our printed Rambams, because in our printed Rambams it says, Lo yelech ad betoch arba amul shel kever v'tfil biyadu sefer Torah. Ah, no, yeah, we don't have the word v'kore. Yeah, he's right. Only in the Brisa does it say v'kore. He says, that's the last line in the Radbaz on the page, Afal gav deina kore ikar mishum loig l'rosh. Now, on page 3, I have the Kesef Mishnah. It just didn't come out on the same page. I ran out of place. Biyado means he's holding it in his hands. Barosha means he's wearing it. That's how the Radbaz understands it. So when the Brisa says Barosha, it means he's wearing it. He's being Mekayim. The Rambam went a step further and writes Biyado. But if you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah, he says Brisa b'perik misha meso. In our text of the Gemara, Gabi Sefer Torah, Lo Yahalich Anu Beis Hakvaros, V'Sefer Torah Bizro V'Yikrobo. V'Hachi Mistabra D'Belo Kriyabo My Loig L'Rosh Ika. So basically, the Kesef Mishnah is wondering how the Rambam could write Biyodo. Oh. So Rabosai, I have a news for you. This Rambam that the Kesef Mishnah and the Radbaz had 5 centuries ago is what we call the printed version of the Rambam. Okay, because they lived after the printing press. But the Frankel Rambam, if you're familiar with it, is based on Kisvei Yad. And the Rambam in the Ksav Yad has tefillin b'rosho, not tefillin b'yado. And I looked up in the back of the Frankel Rambam, they have Shinui Nuschos, and he says he couldn't find one single Ksav Yad. They have about like 20 different manuscripts from all over the world. A lot of them are, by the way, in the British Museum. And he couldn't find one single manuscript that had the word b'yado in it. Now somehow, in the, I don't know, shall we say, in the 700 years between the Rambam, no, excuse me, in the 500 years between the Rambam and the printing press, somehow, some printer came along and decided to change the word Barosho into Biyado. I mean, that's Berzon talking, I'm just saying. But the point I'm trying to make with you is that the Rambam has Barosho. And therefore, it seems to me that you have no right to assume, based on the Rambam that we discussed here in Hilchas Avil, to come to any conclusion that bringing in tefillin into the Beis HaKvaros is itself an Isur. However, Rabosai, look at the next Rambam, and that's in Hilchas Tefillin. The Rambam writes, Lo Yochaz Adam Sefer Torah Bizro'o. He can't hold on to a Sefer Torah in his arm. V'ikonis bo lebeis ha-merchotz lebeis ha-kisei o lebeis ha-kvoros.
That's not
based on the Rosh. Oh, you have to. And how do you know?
From Beis ha-kisei from the other case.
Okay, excellent. And how else? Just I want to add another point. Right, we call Rambam geography. Where does the Rambam quote this halacha? In Hilchas Tefillin, right? In Hilchas Sefer Torah. The first Rambam that we have is Hilchas Avil. That Rambam is addressing Loig L'Rosh. The Rambam holds that the Loig L'Rosh is when the man says to the Kav Yochel, says to the mace, you know what? I have mitzvahs and you don't. That's Chiruf Gidu against the mace. Bringing in the Sefer Torah or Tefillin into the Beis HaKfaros, that's an entirely different halacha, that the Rambam doesn't codify that in Hilchas Avil, because it has nothing to do with the laws of Avelus, which are the laws of Loig L'Rosh. That has to do with the halacha of Kedushas HaTfilin or Kedushas HaSefer. And therefore the Rambam says you're enjoined from bringing a Sefer Torah into a Beis HaMerchatz or a Beis HaKisei. These are places of filth, if you will. And as well, into a Beis HaKvaras. This is a place of Tumah. In other words, it's not covered to the Sefer Torah to bring it into the Beis HaKvaras. But I have a problem. I was so excited about this Shtickle Torah. The Rambam in Ilchus Tefillin, not in Perek Yud, but back in Perek Dalid, when he speaks about Tefillin in a Beis HaKvaros, there he writes, Lo Yahalech Onim Beis HaKvaros Utfillin Berosho. Here the Rambam talks about being Mekayim in the midst of Tefillin. Wouldn't the Rambam have made more sense if he would have said, Lo Yochas Onim Tefillin Biyado, V'Kodesh Lebeis HaMerchatz Beis HaKisei Lebeis HaKvaros? So I'm a little bit baffled here. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillin Perek Dalid, Lefianis Daiti, should have been codified in Hilchas Avel. Meaning, this is an Avelus Halacha, that if you're wearing Tefillin, don't even dream of bringing it near the mess. But truth be told, the Rambam already has it in Hilchas Avel, so why would he repeat himself? And the Girsa that we have in the Frankel edition of the Rambam is Tefillin Berosho, which means that there's a prohibition against being Mekayim the Mitzvah in front of the mess, right? Tota. That halacha, the Rambam is already formulated. So you would anticipate in Hilchas Tefillin, he's going to come up with a brand new halacha, which is halacha not in Hilchas Avel and Log LaRosh, but in Hilchas Tefillin. So why is he right, therefore, Tefillin Berosh? That I couldn't figure out. And finally, just to let you off, in Hilchas Kriyat Shema in Perek Gimel, the Rambam says, Ein Korin, you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema, Lo Bebeis HaMechatz, Lo Bebeis HaKisei, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, Lo Bebeis HaKvaros. He's not talking about Loig LaRosh. He's combining this Isur together with Beis HaKisei and Beis HaMerchatz because that's halach in Kedushas HaTorah. Again, not in the Sefer Torah, but in Kedushas HaTorah. And therefore, the Ravitz HaSoga is really not in place. The Ravitz says on the Rambam, Imar al Misha Korei B'tzad HaMes. That's okay. But the Rambam says that, just 1 second. Okay, the Ravid is a little bit more complicated to make it out. I don't want to keep you. But the Ravid basically holds that the halacha of being Kori Kriyat Shema in front of the mess is a Loig LaRosh halacha. That's how the Ravid understands it. So why does the Rambam say Yachzor V'Yikra? Lo Amar Klum, the Rambam is saying nothing. It's meaningless. That's only because Lishitaso, the Ravid understood that this halach in Ilchus Kriyat Shema really belongs to Ilchus Avel. It's halach of Loig LaRosh. So if he violated Loig LaRosh by reading Kriyat Shema in front of the mess, says the Ravid, okay, give him patch for Loig LaRosh, but he certainly doesn't undermine the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The Rambam didn't mean Loig LaRosh. The Rambam's Loig LaRosh is in Ilchus Avelus. Here the Rambam is talking about the Iser and Kedushas HaTorah. And therefore, the Rambam holds if you violate the Kedushas HaTorah by reciting Kriyat Shema at a place that you're not allowed to recite it, whether it's a Beis HaMerchatz, a Beis HaKisei, or for that matter, a Mokum Tumah like a Beis HaKvaros, then that undermines your Kiyum of Mitzvahs Kriyat Shema. So I submit to you that the only problem that we haven't solved, which is a real problem, is the Rambam Perek Dalet Milchus Tefillin, where the Rambam speaks about Tefillin Berosho. Had he said Tefillin Biyado, that would have been very Gishmak. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.